time may be running out for a social media obsession.
My name is Tiffany Yu. I am joining you from Los Angeles, California, and I'm here because I'm a disability advocate, and TikTok changed my life and so many others within the disability community.
It's free speech versus national security.
You know, it's a very real consideration, whether it's rivalry, national security, espionage, hacking, or all of the above.
Today is Friday, December 6th, and this is The Issue from VOA.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lori London.
And I'm Scott Walterman. The clock is literally ticking for social media phenomenon TikTok. The app edged closer to being banned in the United States after it lost an appeal on Friday against a law requiring the company to divest from its Chinese parent company by January 19th.
TikTok has allowed my dreams that I used to have as a child to come true. I would hate the dreams of all of the other people that use the app that are inspired and educated for those dreams to be crushed.
The short-form video hosting service owned by Chinese internet company ByteDance, which hosts user-submitted videos, has become one of the world's most popular social media platforms.
I'm in class bored, so let's cut my hair. So I don't really know how much to do, so I'm just like that much.
If I make this, I'm going on a diet. Oops, I missed. Let's go buy some tacos.
I'm sick of these teachers. I'm sick of them.
Now, did you handle that stuff in the bathroom that
yes,
I asked?
Yes, Dad. I did check it. You don't have to keep asking me. If you want to see, go check. Like, man, stop.
Earlier this year, White House National Security Spokesman John Kirby said the ban is about security.
From an NSC perspective, there are still national security concerns about the use of TikTok on government devices, and there's been no change to our policy not to allow that.
TikTok, which sued the government over the law in May, has long denied it could be used by Beijing to spy on or manipulate Americans. They've said they will appeal the ruling to the Supreme Court.
Now, President-elect Donald Trump originally tried to ban the app in his first term, but recently on the campaign trail said he's now in favor of the app. And according to Associated Press correspondent Lisa Dwyer, enforcing the ban will fall on his administration in January.
For months, TikTok and its China-based parent company ByteDance have been embroiled in a legal battle with the U.S. over a federal law that forces them to cut ties or face a ban. If the courts uphold the law, it would fall on Trump's Justice Department to enforce that statute. Trump could try different things to prevent the app from disappearing, including finding a buyer for it. The companies claim that divestiture is not possible, and the law, if upheld, would force them to shut down by January 19th, a day before Trump's inauguration. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
So, Scott, you know, I have to admit, I do not participate in TikTok, and I'm not exactly an expert on it. I know it's extremely popular, but, you know, there are only so many social media apps you can spend in a day. But apparently, a lot of people will be very upset that it's gone.
I just got this, we just got this press release from the Justice Department. U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland says, today's decision is an important step in blocking the Chinese government from weaponizing TikTok to collect sensitive information about millions of Americans. So the government's sticking to it's a matter of national security.
Let's talk about it more with someone who actually knows a thing or two about the perks and pitfalls of a world where social media has become such an everyday part of our existence. And that would be Seth Schachner. He's the managing director of Strat Americas.
Seth, thank you so much for being able to join us and talk about this.
Great to be here.
So let's start big picture. This is really complicated, and it's not really just about TikTok, but let's start with TikTok and this ban. What is the real concern, first of all?
I mean, the bigger and broader concern that, you know, has always overlaid, frankly, this entire thing around TikTok is a national, you know, security concern. And it's ultimately about, you know, a bilateral a rivalry between two global rivals, basically, is essentially what this is about. And, you know, it's, I think, the perception of TikTok in some quarters has, you know, kind of toggled back and forth a bit, whether that's different administrations or different tactics around how to deal with this entity. And that's sort of been the confusing piece of it to me, more so than the mechanisms and tools that each of the different U.S., you know, presidential administrations have tried to use tactically to deal with it. And I think we're even with today's announcement, I still think it's a rather unclear situation as to what will actually happen come January, basically.
Is it a national security threat? I mean, is this something that is actually a concern, or is this more about the competitiveness? You know, social media in general is very far reaching, and we have a world we're living in we didn't have many years ago that does pose concerns as well.
I think it's both. And I think even people watching this have probably toggled back and forth a little bit. But I think if you, you know, my read on this shifted a little bit more when I read about the phone hacking incident that, you know, is unrelated to this, but actually, you know, is in the same ballpark. But I think it is a national security interest. At the same time, you know, TikTok is this massive social network that sits alongside of all the other big ones. It's not as integrated, I think, as some of the others are with each other. That, you know, 180 million Americans, something, are using, a billion around the world. And it's part of a big family of apps that's owned ultimately by ByteDance, which, you know, you start getting into ownership and the government and how you define what the public and private sector is, the line over there in China. But I think there are concerns on both ends, for sure.
This is really a bigger issue about the new technology. This is the same kind of issues, in a way, that you face with Facebook and with X and with Telegram. Data collection, really. And the governments around the world, inability to keep up the pace by creating laws that keep that data in check.
There's no question that the law is always behind the technology. And I think, you know, as an American, I think our law, our legislation is even further behind, or at least the thinking is, than even other parts, most certainly Europeans, on areas like privacy and data and AI. But I think the real difference here, the first part of your question is, you know, ByteDance is, you know, has the ability to be controlled by a state actor that, you know, we're in different ways. Well, we cooperate with them and trade with them. There's certainly competitive aspects as well. And when you have everything from these weather balloons to drones to phone hacking incidents, I think that it isn't just about the data and privacy. I think in this specific case, you named a lot of entities there, and I think it's better to take a lot of them one by one. Telegram is something, by the way, I put in a class of its own and kind of exclude from, you know, the comparison, because I think that's a different beast entirely as well, almost unedited, unmoderated. But I do think that this entity, ByteDance, and by the way, they have a lot of apps. This is obviously the biggest. So they have a lot of other initiatives, everything from influencers to shopping to music, advertising are part of a ByteDance. But I think this one's different than the others, personally.
How is it different?
Well, because it's a state actor that's behind it. And whether the interests are maligned or there's competitive aspects or real national security considerations, that state has the ability to, you know, ask for, co-opt, and use user data, American user data. And, you know, our government, CFIUS, which isn't always in the news, right, which is a, I guess it's a, a, congressional committee that looks at foreign investment in our interests in this country and takes a look at security interests. And they have forced the divestment of other apps in the past. There's, I want to say there's a gay app called Grindr that was forcibly divested. That, you know, people wanted to make sure that the gay community had privacy and wasn't subject to, you know, foreign interference. I think there was a healthcare app in New England, I want to say, that was forcibly divested. So, you know, it's a very real consideration, whether it's rivalry, national security, espionage, hacking, or all the above. And I do think that it is a legitimate thing for our leaders to look at this thing and say, hey, what's going on here? This is different. Also, if you think about, you know, what happens in Taiwan, if there's an invasion down the road, it could be used as a propaganda tool, you know, for that or for other purposes as well. So that's a really different thing, right, than, say, a publication like the New York Times or Washington Post. It's not controlled by our government. So I think the concern and the actions are actually quite legitimate. I think the real question is, what you're looking at this as a regulator, what do you do to make this thing more effective and get it under control?
What does a ban even look like? Well, what does a ban even look like if they enforce this ban?
So it's not a ban. I mean, it's just the media. It's what would actually happen. I mean, they call it deplatforming, meaning that I believe, say, in a certain territory like the U.S., the main app stores would be forced to cut off support for the app. So over time, it degrades. It might, you need to update it. People can get around it by going through VPNs or going to offshore probably to update the app. So it wouldn't be a perfect thing. But that's I don't think they could ban it per se. I guess they could shut it down. But I think it's more about deplatforming it and cutting off support from the app store, I think. And it usually would have to be, and I'm riffing on all this just to be clear. I don't think anyone's seen the data outside of these, you know, parties as to what's actually happening. But I think this would probably have to happen in some broad, you know, US territory, federal level. It wouldn't be state by state, because people use this app on mobile phones and they move between states and territories, and mobile phone coverage doesn't really adhere to, you know, state boundaries, to my knowledge. So it would be a very, very impractical thing to do, for sure. But there have been something called Project Texas, and there's one for Europe. Is it Emerald? I can't remember that. There's one that's based in Ireland that's for the European markets that I believe TikTok and ByteDance have kind of cooked up to put in front of regulators. That is their proposal for here's a constructive solution to resolve this.
Yeah, we've been, you know, as you've been talking about, you know, the concerns of vulnerability to manipulation by Chinese authorities, shaping content that might be difficult to detect. And apparently, it really isn't just the U.S. Apparently, the European Union is also scrutinizing the app's role in some things, including the upcoming Romanian election. So, I mean, it seems like it's going to end up obviously in the Supreme Court. And do you think it'll be more of a free speech First Amendment issue for them?
Well, firstly, it's a great point. It isn't, you know, this isn't confined to our, I think everyone, including Japan's looking at this as well over in Asia. There's a lot of regions that are looking at this and trying to figure out ways to balance it. And it isn't just about China. It's our tech titans too are subject to all these laws. So it's a real balancing act. And, you know, that community is a billion plus strong. And so it's not an easy thing to weigh. It isn't just about free speech. It is about national security. And, you know, not an expert on the Supreme Court, but it might not even go to the Supreme Court, by the way. But I bet if it did, they would look at it pretty holistically and would probably look at it based on what the appeals court is looking at, which is, you know, it's national security. That to me has been the focus of what CFIUS and what, you know, I think the first Trump administration tried to ban it through the Commerce Department, if my memory serves. It's mostly been around the issue of national security and privacy. It isn't so much about free speech. in my opinion.
Well, that's what the appellate court said. You're right. The appellate court said that Congress wrote a law. The law is specific to this instance, and the law is constitutional.
Yeah, and that's the real thing. So I think the real thing, you know, is it'll sort of be how they survive tactically. I mean, I'm pretty neutral on TikTok. I have to say I'm not an expert user in it, but it's hard to experience the app, at least the content side of it, which is closer to the speech issue, and see how there's much of anything strategic on it. It's really, it's not serious content that's on there. I've had people on my team, for example, probing whether we should use it for business, and it's, I don't see it as some terribly substantive tool. It's a fun, I just don't. Come on, look, everyone knows this. But people rely on it, and it's embedded itself in pop culture, particularly for young people. And so I think the balancing act is about, if you are going to do something to it, whether you deplatform it or ban it or force an American-owned structure over it, how do you do that so it doesn't ruin the user experience? Mm. So you don't tick off all the teens that are using it. It's their medium. It's not my generation. And they're using it. You know, I've seen it just from the posts that I make, just awed by the virality of it and the power of it. And so there is an argument that when Trump comes in, which is the day after the ban is supposed to take effect, right? Is the new administration going to say, hey, let's be pragmatic about this, right? We don't want to tick off 180 million people, 90 million teens. Maybe they'll just override the ban and let them stay in place. So who knows?
But, these kids, they lived without it before. They'll probably be able to create their own something else at some point. I mean, it's not like it's not possible to recreate something just as good. I mean, you think you can't live without something until it's gone, and then... I mean, social media.
MySpace.
Listen, you're talking to one of the early AOL executives. I lived in D.C. I was their first music person. And so, see how well AOL's doing these days. Or what's Vine, or MySpace? Come on. Yeah. See,
and now Blue Sky's trying to take over
So it could go away on its own. And, I think I've understand that point of view intimately. I think that's a great point. A lot of technologies wash in and wash out. The way people use Instagram now, perhaps more than Facebook, or generations adopt different vehicles as they get older, the user base gets. So that could happen too. And I think that's one of the reasons why you don't want to overthink it too much on content or free speech. But I do think these issues around national security are legitimate. And the structures I've heard, if I have some friends in D.C. and Capitol Hill, that the idea, they called it Project Texas, or creating an entity where, American interests would essentially own some type of spun off version of the app. I've heard with Oracle running it, Microsoft was in the running, that there could be some type of, editorial or content board that's American run that would oversee it. I've also heard rumors that there's a special, algorithm being created just for our market to please the regulators. Which I think China would be, they've been very public about not wanting to sell TikTok or export that at the algorithmic, technology that drives the app, which I think is really key to it. And so I think that's also something that is not deeply thought out and, yet that would be very difficult to pull off if they are to transition it to a U.S. structure. How the heck does that work? And, does it ruin the experience? But I don't think the kids particularly care what territory you're in, basically. It's just a big mashup of community, basically.
Well, we have seen, didn't Brazil actually shut X down successfully?
Mm-hmm.
And so you couldn't access it. Unless, like you said, you use a VPN and you tell the internet you're actually in Canada, but.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think India shut down certain ByteDance apps, I want to say, including TikTok. I've got friends here, by the way, in LA where I'm based, who work for TikTok and ByteDance in by the way, in roles that are just business roles, nothing sensitive. And one or two of them came over from India because their operation was completely shut down, you know, there during, I guess, a conflict between China and India, and ByteDance was part of it. I think the Aussies shut down TikTok for a while too. I mean, I don't know, you know, I don't know if these things are successful, you know what I mean? Like, to think about it that way, I'm more of, you know, whatever the right word is, hands off when it comes to allowing these things to run. I just think this case is very different. As I also think Telegram is something you mentioned earlier, where if there's real clear evidence of either something malign happening or, you know, hacking, whatever it might be, the ability to compromise user data, it's a very fair thing to start looking at.
Yeah.
Seth, thanks so much for the insight.
My pleasure.
That was Seth Schachner, Managing Director of Strat Americas.
I mean, he brings up a lot of good points, right? At the end of the day, if this goes away, there'll be something else.
Exactly. And, you know, it always seems like a big deal when you have to let go of something. Who knows if it'll actually happen with the Supreme Court, what they'll do. But in the meantime,
I think the bigger picture issue here is, and he said it, you know, technology moves faster than governments. So as new stuff comes out, right, the government has to say, is this good? Is it bad? Is it harmful? And then what do we do about it?
Yep. Government processes and bureaucracy are not quick. They're probably a lot less quick than a new social media app similar to it will pop up by someone.
By the time they get around to regulating it, yeah.
You have been listening to The Issue from the Voice of America.
On behalf of everyone here at VOA, thank you so much for joining us.
You can follow The Issue on X and Facebook at VOA The Issue. And for news 24/7, our website is voanews.com.
In Washington, I'm Scott Walterman.
And I'm Lori London. We'll talk to you soon.